welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Today I'm speaking with Shawnee from the very popular blog 71 Toes. I myself am a longtime reader and fan of their family. I have been so inspired and encouraged by her writing and by her example of being really intentional with her parenting. She has college-age kids down to a 10-year-old. She's a mom of five total, and she is extraordinary in the way that she kind of invites the public into their life as she tries to be so intentional about her parenting. The systems she puts in place, the values she tries to instill upon her kids, and how does she do that? Today, we're going to talk specifically about teenagers and how she's able to raise teenagers in a way where during a time they may feel inclined to kind of push away from their parents, she talks about how she's able to kind of have them turn towards her instead of away from her. She recognizes that she's not perfect, but she is doing the very best she can to create a family culture of love and respect and kindness and service. This is an extraordinary family. She's an extraordinary mom, and I can't wait for you to hear more about their family adventures and her intentional parenting. Let's get to it. All right, I'm so thrilled to be talking with Shawnee Pothier today. Hi, Shawnee.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going great.
Good. Where am I talking to you from today?
I am just sitting here in my family room in Arizona, just awesome. Ready to talk about motherhood. I'm
Yay.
Excited.
Oh, that's so great. Well, I've been a longtime fan of your blog, 71 Toes, and you are so open and vulnerable about sharing your family's journey and the good, the bad, and the ugly, but especially the beautiful. And that's what I love so much. It really encourages me to document my family memories and to also share the things that, you know, are just where you're at right now. You don't need to be in the finished product, or you don't need to have learned the lesson. It's like, this is where we're at right now. And I think that really resonates with people. Have you found that?
I have found that. I just feel like we're all kind of in the trenches of this motherhood journey. And some days are awesome and some days are not so great. And we just need to get up and keep going and remember to watch our kids sleeping at night to give us some motivation for the next day. And it's kind of tricky, but it's so fun to have an army of mothers around us that we can learn from and grow from.
And especially now that you have two out of the home, I bet it's so such a weird transition. And, you know, you can look back fondly on those blog posts and everything, but you are literally like in every phase of motherhood. You're not in the toddler phase anymore. You've made it past that.
Unfortunately, or newborn. I miss those newborns so much.
But having, you know, a 10-year-old up to college-age kids, you know, that's quite a span.
It is a span, and it is so interesting. My mom always says it doesn't get easier when they grow up. It just gets bigger and more complicated, and I'm thinking that it's really true because it is more complicated. Even with those two out of my house now, they still need a lot of stuff and a lot of attention, and it's pretty awesome, though. I actually love it.
See, and that's what I love about you so much. It's like, even though it doesn't get easier, you might think when you have toddlers, like, oh my gosh, like I'm never going to sleep again. My floor is never going to be clean. I'm always going to be stepping on Legos. You know, those types of things where you think it's just always going to be this hard and the logistics of car seats and stuff. But even when you're not doting the stroller around and everything, there's new issues and new things, right, to navigate.
It's so true. Every stage just throws new curveballs at you.
But it does.
It's pretty fun to be able to figure them all out.
Yeah, I totally agree. So will you just give the listeners who may not know you a little bit of a background on your family and yourself?
Sure. I am married to a great guy who I met in college, and we lived in Virginia, Washington, D.C. for about 6 years where we kind of started our family. We had our first three kids there, and then we moved to the desert and where his family's from. And we had two more kids here. And so we've got five altogether. And one is, our oldest two were only 14 months apart. They kind of threw us a little surprise there. And, so it's been kind of weird. You know, it's been really fun to watch them grow up. First of all, the toddler years were really hard, but, and then they just grew up to be best friends and go through the high school thing all together, and now they both graduated back to back, and now we have these three kids at home. One's a sophomore, one's a seventh grader, and one's in fourth grade, and we only had one boy at first and then four girls, and so we are dealing with some good drama around the house.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. We've got one on a mission for our church in Taiwan, our oldest one, who's a boy, and then all the rest are girls. One's in Hawaii going to college, and the rest are home. So
that's so awesome. Your home looks very different than it did 2 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. So different. It's so amazing how things can change so quick.
Right. What has surprised you most about having your kids leave the home and then having this new number residing in the home? Has anything really stuck out to you?
You know what? I thought that I would be really, I thought I would be sitting around reading books and doing all my projects that I really wanted to do, but it's really not happening. I think that's the most surprising thing. It doesn't really calm down, but it's, I'm surprised how much I really feel happy that it's okay that those kids are gone, as much as I miss them so much. It's so awesome to watch them learn and grow and figure things out in their own ways without me hovering over them. And I just think it's pretty magical to set them off. So I think it's kind of fun. And it's also really fun. I'm surprised how much fun it is to just be able to concentrate on these ones at home.
Right. I'm sure like the whirlwind of high school and activities and everything kind of not takes away from, but I mean, there's only so many hours in the day. So to be able to really focus on the younger three now, that's a really special time.
It's really great. We're loving it.
Yeah,
it's
I bet.
Just really best. My youngest, Lucy, who's 10, was going to bed the other night and just was holding this little picture, just cradling this picture of all of her siblings and her together and just crying with crocodile tears rolling down her cheeks the other day. I mean, she just misses those older two, and I think they all miss each other, but they're learning great things and growing in ways that they couldn't otherwise, so it's great.
Yeah. Is it harder for you or harder for Lucy? Yeah.
I don't know sometimes, but
it's a toss-up.
I think it's hard on all of us, but we're sure learning a lot.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, let's just go back to early motherhood for you just for a second. We're going to talk primarily about teenagers in this episode, but let's go back when you just had Max, when he was just a baby. Was motherhood what you thought it would be? What were some of those early days like for you? What were the best parts and the hardest parts too?
That's a good question. I think probably every mother has a different feeling with that first baby coming in. But for me personally, I had looked forward to being a mom since I was a baby myself. I mean, I was so excited to hold that little baby in my arms and just to be called mother and mom. And I was so excited. So I was pretty prepared. I was the second of nine kids in my family. And so I knew kind of what was coming because I felt like I was the second mother for all those kids.
I loved
being their big sister. And so I kind of had an idea of what was coming, but it was kind of how I imagined it. It was a lot more heart-wrenching in a lot of ways than I imagined it. A lot more amazing than I imagined it. I think all of my emotions were kind of heightened in a way that I didn't really anticipate.
Yeah, I can see that. And especially if you think you're prepared. You're the second of nine, you know, like you've got this, but then learning a new human being, it's nothing can quite prepare you for that. And you're all just like doing the best you can every single day.
Yep. You just have to do the best you can.
Yeah. And like you said, 14 months later, you added your second. It was a surprise, but I mean, those logistics up front, like it's just so tricky, but to see them grow up together is so, so neat.
It is really neat, and I'm so thankful that I wrote about things when they were little. I didn't really even start my blog until a lot later, but I did. I'm a pretty avid journal writer, and I'm so thankful. I think that's if I could recommend anything to young mothers, I think to write down and kind of conceptualize, kind of feel out what your thoughts are, you know, at night or on a weekend or whatever. Because I feel like I'm so thankful that I wrote those things down. Not only the good but the bad, because I'm sitting here thinking now that I'm in this stage of my life, thinking was it really as hard as I remember it? And it's so fun to be able to go back and read all that because it was crazy with those first two little kids. It was crazy.
Do you have any memories that just stand out, just exemplifying the craziness of it all?
I remember one time we were in a little condo in Virginia and I was taking care of my new little baby, Ellie, and someone, a neighbor, brought Max, a little toddler, in with his like some saggy diaper, and he was out on the side of the house and just feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't keep this straight. And then when we moved to a different house, I remember just lots of messes and lots of disasters and the dishwashing detergent all over the ground and, you know, just stuff that the kids got into every single day. And it's just, and just thinking, I cannot make it through this. This is crazy. But I did. And but we learned a lot, and it just makes for a great adventure.
You did. Yeah. It is so crazy. Some of those days are just like, if you were to like list out everything that happened during the day, you wouldn't even believe it yourself, and you live through it.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny. So I applaud all those mothers out there that are just in the trenches of those little toddlers that just get into everything. And one thing that helped me so much in that stage was that my mom is very wise and wonderful. And she, reminded me often that toddlers do not have self-control. They just don't. They don't have it yet. And so that helped a lot through all the crazy things that they would do. And
right. They're like, oh, I just see the tub of flour. I wonder, this feels good. I'm going to scatter it. They don't know consequences. And
they don't know. So, there's a time when cute little Elle, she was about 2 years old, maybe three, and she found some scissors. And no, she was two and a half, because it was right before I was pregnant, largely pregnant with my third. And I came in the kitchen and she had chopped her hair off above her ears. And she just thought those scissors were interesting and just decided to chop away at her hair. And I about died in my pregnant emotional stage. Just, I cried for hours. It was so sad. And
you literally think it's the end of the world in that moment.
The end of the world. Yeah. But you know what? It's a great memory that we all laugh about now, with her little boy haircut that we had to go get for her and all that. But yeah. It all weaves into this beautiful tapestry of memories.
It does. And so you went on to add three more. So you have a total of five. So now you span from 10 years old up to college age. So as your kids were entering those preteen years and teenage years, what were you expecting? Like, did you feel prepared for that? Were you intentionally establishing a certain type of relationship with them to set them up for success and you all up for success? Or what was that like going into those years?
You know, I do think that I was pretty conscientious about that, because I really wanted to have those, you know, I was so excited about those toddler years. And I knew to be excited for that, but I knew that the teenage years were coming. I didn't really know what to expect or how to prepare, but so I did, I love, you know, other moms and other ideas, and I gathered some great ideas from whether it was internet or whether it was friends, but I gathered some really fun ideas that I think have helped us a lot through the years to solidify our relationships. One is, I mean, I don't know if you want me to go into examples.
Yeah, I do.
But one of them, I just think communication. Every single mother, every single parenting issue that comes up, I think it all comes back to communication. So if we can learn how to communicate with our kids at an early age, it helps so much as they get older and as the complications get bigger and more emotional. The problem is that you figure out that communication with one kid, and then the next child is completely different. You have to kind of rework your communication. But I realized a few little things along the way, like Max, my oldest, would communicate better when we were sitting side by side in the car rather than face to face. And he was not, for some reason, he opened up more. And Ellie was a little bit better when we had more personal interviews. And so it's a couple things we did, and there's, you know, everyone has different ideas from their parents or from that they've seen, but we really have tried to do little one-on-one times with our kids. So when they were really little, we let them stay up for late nights every once in a while, just one kid at a time. You know, when you get a group of kids, sometimes it's the masses. You're just dealing with the masses. But when one child can stay up a little later than the rest, we would call those late nights, and we would have some special time with that one child. And then another thing that I love that we still do now, even in high school, is I take my kids out for lunch, just one by one. And I try to do it once a month with each child. And that is great, because it creates some great conversation and they love it. It's something that they want to be one-on-one.
Right.
And we've had some, I think just anything like that is really great. And when they were young, I had a big book. I still have the big book, but I haven't done it very well lately. But I would have interviews every once in a while, and it was not regular. I always had an idea that it would be, you know, every once a month on Sunday or whatever, but I'm not that organized. But I do have a big book that I still pull out every once in a while, but I was a lot more regular when they were younger. And I would write about, the first question I would ask them is what they're most worried about. The second question is what they're most excited about. And it kind of helped us. It was, they always knew that those questions were coming. And so, and I would write notes about, I would write notes in my little book about what they were worried about and what, just notes on how they were doing at that point. And then the next time we had an opportunity to have a little interview, I would get it out and we'd talk about it and how that's progressing. It would help me to keep track of their individual needs and worries in the midst of all five kids.
I love that.
So I think that's helped.
I love that. And I think a lot of, whether you have one child or five children, I think we all feel pressed for time. And
yes,
people think like, I don't have time to spend one-on-one time with my child. But it's not so much about the length and the quantity of the time, but really, you know, focusing in on what they want to be doing, whether it's doing an activity or asking them questions or utilizing, like you're saying, those pockets of time, those car rides.
And yeah,
it's like, that's the best time for him to open up anyways. So might as well take advantage of that. And
exactly.
So just like really analyzing your life, say at this stage, like, what can I do? And like just this morning, I was doing some stuff around the kitchen and stuff that didn't need to be done that second, but it could have been. And so I'm doing the dishes and my 4-year-old was like, will you play with me? And I could have said, oh, a little bit later. And chances are I wouldn't have gotten back to it. I know I would have forgotten. He would have forgotten. But I just stopped and I said, okay, let's do it. And literally, it took 7 minutes. I like looked at the clock. I'm like, I wonder how long he expects me to like really play. And I was on. My phone was nowhere near. We were just playing dinosaurs. We were setting it up and I was doing what he wanted to do.
That is so awesome. That
7 minutes.
Tiny little time.
Seven.
It doesn't have to be very long, right?
Yes. And literally, I've gotten so much done the rest of the morning because he hasn't been harping, oh, can we play now? Can you do this? Can you do that? No, I like filled his bucket so that he's like good to go for a while. And yes, I'm still interacting with him, but it just really set us all up for success by devoting those just precious 7 minutes.
I think that is so important.
Yeah.
Just to realize it doesn't take that long. You're right. It's
no.
not, it doesn't have to be all day, every
yeah.
day, but just to give them, and really one thing that I always think about too, is just being there, and you were there with him.
Right.
You connected with him on his own level. And I feel like that's so important in today's day and age. I think it's so easy to let technology come
yeah.
over and take over when we should be interacting with human beings, and
yes.
especially our children.
Yes.
And as moms, I mean, we worry about it so much with our kids, technology and all the different things that come with it. But as moms, we need to be really aware that it's so easy to let not only kitchen tasks, like you were like
yeah.
saying, the
yeah.
dishes, but you know, emails and Instagram and things that bombard our lives that kind of take us away from what's most important sometimes.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. So did you ever feel like once you entered the teen years that you were ever doing something that really didn't work? I mean, I know it's kind of like a hard question to just put out there for the world, but you like to hear really capable, intentional moms, you know, kind of doing trial and error and kind of, you know, doing their best to figure it out along the way. Was there anything that didn't work?
I think there were tons of things that didn't
yeah.
work. I mean, I should keep a list of that. I think I wish I would have, because we tried so many things that just didn't work, that
yeah.
just were complete fails. But I'm trying to think of something specific. There were just so many, but
but every time that it doesn't go well, like it gets you a little closer to maybe the right path and the right
exactly.
answer. And so you don't need to view it as like I don't know what I'm doing, I'm failing as a mom. You don't need to like be, you know, have that huge umbrella over your whole motherhood.
Yeah.
But just say, you know what? What can I tweak to try something different?
I think that's exactly like the perfect definition of motherhood. Just
yeah.
right there. You're just tweaking things over and over again. And
yeah.
something may not work and you have to build on it, but because you had that experience, you realize that didn't work. So you know to try something different, or it's okay. All those fails are part of the journey, in
right.
my opinion. And it's okay. You want it. You need to fail every once in a while. And you know, I tried to introduce tons of systems and
yeah.
plans and everything way too early for my kids, when mm-hmm. I really maybe should have just been enjoying them. And you know, but I learned from those things and along the way. And I think you just need to take time to evaluate, okay, what are we doing here? And whether it's you're talking with your spouse or your mom or your friend, to kind of try to add some other adult human interaction and say, hey, this is how what I'm doing, maybe kind of bounce ideas off of other people too, so that you can kind of get a gauge of where you're going and what's going right and what's going wrong, and
yeah,
and realize that it's okay to mess up.
Yeah. And so did you acknowledge those kind of mess ups for your kids? Like, I think it's a great role model and example for your kids to say, you know what, like, this isn't working, so this is what we're going to try instead. And
yep,
that's something that's a life lesson that they need to learn, that they're yep, not always going to do things perfectly either. Neither is yep, mom, neither is dad. And we're all just trying to figure it out. We can apologize if we need to, we can rework things if we need to. And that's a great example for them.
I think apologizing to kids is the best thing. Mm-hmm. It is. It's. I totally agree with you, because they need to realize that we're not perfect as parents either. And someday when they're parents, they're not going to be perfect yeah, either. And we are just all learning this together. And, you know, with my first, I would say to him a lot, you know, you're my first kid. I'm just trying to figure things out with you. And I'm sorry, but we got to figure this out together.
Right.
And then, but guess what? By the fifth kid, I'm still trying to figure it out, because
right,
things are different. So I think that's okay, and I think it's good for them to realize that you are trying and you're doing your best.
Right, and you're not just an extraordinary mom once you figure it all out. You know, it's that intention, it's that love and devotion to doing the best you can every day, and apologizing and reworking things and just showing up every day. And you can be an extraordinary mom in the midst of that journey. You're never going to be perfect.
But yes, there's no way.
But we really beat ourselves up about that, and it makes me so sad to hear moms that just feel like failures because they had a bad day or a bad week or bad year even. But it's just like, just keep trying. You're doing better than you think you are.
Yep, that's such a good quote. Mm-hmm. Just the dory.
Yep, exactly.
Dory quote, just keep swimming. I yep, think, you know, we just got to keep going. And
yes,
we can work out a lot of things
yeah,
in life if we just keep putting in our effort.
Right, right. And like I said, following you over these years, like, it's so funny having never met you, but like, I really look up to you as a mom. Like, what's she doing? And what's she? And you probably think that's super
oh, that's
creepy,
nice.
but it's true. But hearing even for you, the tweaking that needs to be happening, even as somebody that has figured out a lot, you haven't figured out everything. So that's great.
Yeah. Constant tweaking is the key.
Absolutely. So one of the main concerns in this day and age with teenagers and even younger now is technology. Like we mentioned, I am so freaked out by everything in the world now, Shawnee. What? How do you protect these kids? And I feel like what you're going to say is you just need to raise them up with good values and, you know, a strong foundation, and then they'll be able to combat whatever. But how do you face it?
You know, I think it's really interesting. I've actually done a couple of interviews on technology lately, and I think that I've been thinking about it quite a lot, and there's so much out there in the world that is so dangerous, and it's bombarding us, and what do we do? And it is so important to be aware of that it is scary. There's a lot of things on the internet that are really tricky and that could really affect our children in the wrong way, and us too.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's time or whether it's negative things that they see or whatever it is. But I just feel like there's so much good on the internet and with technology as well. I mean, the fact that I can see my daughter who's going to college in Hawaii on the beach while I'm making dinner in my house, or the fact that I can have a picture pop up of my son who's living in Taiwan right now, or I can text my 15-year-old sophomore in high school can text me in the middle of the day and say, I got 100% on this test, or, you know, there's just so
right,
many wonderful things that, you know, and just this alone, that your podcast that's spread out to all these moms, that's inspiring and great. And, you know, there's so much good with technology. And so sometimes we're so quick as parents to think, oh, it's bad, we need to hurry and
yeah,
get rid of things. But really, I think a lot of times in order to get rid of a bad habit, you need to add something positive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe before you even start a bad habit, just make sure you have the positive of it. So with kids, and I don't know how far you want to go into technology, but whether it's how much time they use it, or how much time you use it, or what you see on the internet, or when to give a child cell phone. I mean, it's a huge ball of information trying
yeah,
to figure things out. But I think the most important thing comes back to that first thing we talked about, is communication.
Yeah.
And communicate with your kids why there's worries, why there are great things, And what's the big picture here? What do we want to accomplish with this technology mm-hmm. in our family, with ourselves, and kind of go from there?
Yeah, and you have tried contracts and everything like that. Has that been effective?
I think that's been really effective. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to revisit the contract. We made a contract with our kids when we gave them cell phones. Actually, it was after our first two got cell phones, and right as our third got a cell phone. And we made up a contract and told them everything. And I think it was really good because it opened the communication to different technological problems that could come up in the future. It just made our kids aware. We have kind of we haven't dropped the ball on it, but we haven't really reworked it. And I think as with everything in motherhood, it needs to be reworked. So mm-hmm. we are in the process of kind of figuring that out right now, what is acceptable and what's not. But we really want our kids to be involved with us as we figure those things out. And so it's kind of a family council kind of thing.
Yeah, I really like that. And I like how you're just saying it's more about the way you approach things than oftentimes the facts. Like, yes, there's a lot of scary things on the internet, but there's a lot of good. So are you going to focus on that with your kids? And maybe that would provoke more, I don't know, curiosity and kind of fear in them? Or are you going to say, hey, look at all these amazing things we can do with technology with, you know, these limits, and we don't need to be obsessed with it and all these things? And that approach can really color the way that they view it, and they can use it in a healthy way. And you too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. I think that's,
I mean,
really
obviously we have our issues with it, like everyone does, but I think just to be deliberately aware of mm-hmm. the communication that needs to be happening and the good and the bad that goes with it, I think is really important for parents. And I think there are a lot of parents out there who just, they don't really think about it, and they just hand their child a cell phone, and they don't realize all the responsibility that they have as a parent as they give that device to their child too. And so we need to train our, you know, I didn't grow up with a cell phone, so I don't know. It's interesting to have this new generation of kids with phones and technology at their fingertips and how to deal with it. It's kind of a learning curve for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you mentioned too that you have a lot of family systems. If there was a parent listening right now that really is wanting to kind of get their family on the right track in some way, and, you know, whether it's chores or whether it's money or whatever, is there a certain system that you would recommend starting with just to kind of create a little bit more order in the home? I'm sure it's different based upon the ages as well, but.
Well, I do think it's different based on the ages and as well as who's raising the children.
Yeah, yeah.
My family growing up was very, we had a lot of systems and it was great. I loved it. My husband's family had systems as well, but very different systems. And so to merge those systems in the right way that is best for our kids has been really a long process trying mm-hmm. to figure all that out. And so I think that the most important thing to realize is that, I guess, taking that into consideration, that everyone's raised in a different way and everyone has different goals, and some are way more creative parents and just want to go and explore and do all those things with their kids. Some parents really need the structure in a home.
Yeah.
So with taking that into account, I just think the most important thing to realize is that it is really important for kids to have at least some things that they should do each day, and to realize that they are capable. A three-year-old is certainly capable to help with the dishes I think sometimes we just wait to have kids start working until they're mm-hmm. older. And so I think, I don't know, those are kind of some epiphanies I had when they were little, is that my kids, every one of my five children is quite different, but each one of them benefited from having a chart or something to cross off to get things done, whether they were already really motivated and it just helped them, or whether they were not motivated and they needed.
Okay, so how did you motivate the unmotivated child? So let's say their job was to make their bed. How did you approach that?
and again, it's going to be different in each family. But for us, when our kids were all quite young, the biggest motivation was to the natural consequence of not doing their things in the morning was that they couldn't hang out with their friends after school. And, you know, that's so simple. But we lived in a neighborhood that had just kids around the corner at every turn. And so they were really motivated because they wanted to be hanging out with their friends after school. So they were very motivated. All five of them have been quite motivated to get their things done in the morning. in order to be able to do that, because they know that that consequence is looming ahead of them,
right,
if they don't get it done. So I think that, you know, some kids are really motivated by money. We do have a money system that would take a while to get into, but we have our kids start paying for things when they get to be 12 years old. And so they do have to earn money, because we want to filter it through them so they can learn to save and give. And so, but through the whole process, you do have to figure out what motivates those kids. Right. And sometimes money doesn't really motivate them. They don't really want that. And sometimes friends may not motivate them. I remember one time my oldest, our son, when he was in junior high, didn't really want to go out with friends. And so that motivation kind of changed. In elementary school, he was really motivated by it, but in junior high, he wasn't. And first of all, that made us worry as parents, like, why doesn't he want to go out? But things just changed so much within the year after, when we kept worrying about him. He was just gone nonstop, and we never saw him anymore. And so I think it's just, you have to kind of change those a little bit. And as the years go by, I think, and also as your family progresses and evolves and changes. But, and I don't know if you have different consequences for different children. It kind of depends on your own family, but yeah. I think it's important to have those consequences in place and have the kids help figure out what those will be if they don't get their things accomplished in the day. But I think it's so good for kids to just have that sense of accomplishment that, yes, I did my practicing today, or whatever, I made my bed, I brushed my own teeth, I, you know, anything that they need to do, have some kind of a system, some kind of a chart that they can cross off, I think is key.
Yeah, and having it be visual and everything, especially for the younger ones, gives them a lot of ownership. I really like that. And especially if they're seeing the older siblings do it as well, they feel part of a team. And that's totally empowering.
Huge, hugely empowering.
Yeah, everyone can.
That's what we do in our family.
Yeah, I love that. Shawnee, how have you evolved as a mom from that time when you had your first baby or your first two to now having a, you know, spanned all these different seasons of your children's lives? How have you evolved? Has your mindset changed?
That's a really good question.
Or have you changed as a person too?
That's a really good question. I think kind of both. I think that my mindset's changed, and I know I have changed just because of all those experiences under my belt now, and all the things that I kind of know to anticipate that are still coming with each of these kids. It's changed my mindset a lot. I don't know exactly how to articulate that. I think that I've become a little bit more relaxed, and I think I've been a little bit more, but also a little bit more stressed in some ways. I'm not sure how to really explain it, but I think it all comes back to the same. The theory is that from when they were little kids, I've tried to just love them in a way that I feel like God loves them. And I feel like that's the thing that's remained constant, and my actions of how to help them feel that love from me and from above have changed and evolved over the years. But I think it kind of naturally just happens if you're putting in the time and effort trying to figure it out, whether it's with discussions with your spouse or some other person, or whether it's writing things down. But I don't know that I could really say a specific thing that's changed.
Yeah. I don't know. You just kind of expand your ability to take on life and to take on new hard things. Like, it may be something small in the beginning, a challenge that you face or something like that, but that really refines you and makes you more prepared and stronger for the next thing. You may not even notice a real difference until you get to that next hard thing and you're like, wow, look at me go.
Yeah.
Have you found that? Let's talk a little bit about your youngest daughter, Lucy. She was born with a very rare disease. Will you just talk a little bit about that and maybe how that's impacted your family?
Yeah, if you use Lucy, my youngest, as an analogy of how motherhood has changed, I think that would really, that's a interesting thing to think about. She was born with a syndrome that called Bardet-Biedl syndrome. It's very rare and very hard to pronounce for most people, so we just call it BBS. And she was born with an extra toe and some different issues. And we finally found out when she was almost 2 years old that she had the syndrome. And it causes some developmental delays as well as blindness and obesity and heart problems and kidney problems. And so We have gone through a lot of different stages of grief and mourning, as well as joy and elation, as we watch her grow and do things that some would say she would never be able to do. Mm. And I think that it's sure been a learning experience for us, for my husband and I together, as we mourn in different times and in different ways and try to help each other through that, but also really celebrate the wonderful things that happen that she's able to do. And so I think it's kind of an interesting thing to think about that in relation to motherhood, because I think there's a lot of motherhood that relates, if you think about it in a parallel. There's so many things that we mourn about and realize that mm-hmm. can never happen in motherhood, whether it's a problem with our child or whether it's just our abilities or their abilities. And as we learn and grow, we realize that which things we can celebrate and which things we need to overcome and try to do differently. And I feel like that's what we've been trying to do with Lucy over the years.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but what if she had been your first?
We have thought about that a lot, actually.
Oh, okay. What do you think about that?
It would have changed a lot of things.
I think so, too. Tell me what you think.
Well, I think it would have made us a lot more cautious to uh-huh. have more children in the first place, but uh-huh. Because it's genetic and, you know, we have a 1 in 4 chance to have another child with the same syndrome. The way that we raise her is a little bit different, obviously, than the way we raise our other children. We're a little bit more, even more deliberate with her and more organized and structured with how she deals with her days. And I think it would have changed really everything and it would have changed her a lot to be a different member in the family as well. I always wish that she had a younger sibling because I think it would be really good for her, but she doesn't get so lucky for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting to think, and I really believe, you know, we get our children that are really meant for us in the order in which they're supposed to be and everything. And I think you know, we're likely more prepared, you know, at that time in your life for that child and having older siblings to care for her and watch out for her. I've loved seeing that aspect of your family's journey kind of unfold and just the care and the bond with which especially your three younger girls, have with her. I just think that's beautiful.
It really is I'm so thankful every single day. I think my husband said the other day, Claire, who's our 12-year-old, who's mm-hmm. just older than Lucy, he said she's probably done more for Lucy than anyone, any therapist, any teacher, anyone, anywhere. And I totally agree with him because she's her little cheerleader on the side. She helps her so much. And I just think, what if she didn't have that in her life? Yeah. What if she didn't have, you know, her older brother who sends her letters that just make her tear up or just loves her so much, or her, you know, the way that they interact together. I think that she has these four therapists just built in our family.
Yeah, I agree.
You're so lucky. She's so lucky to have that. So I think it is meant to be that she has those siblings to help her through.
Yeah. And as hard as that must be to face a lot of these challenges and the uncertainty and the unknowns, there's so much joy in celebrating as well. And I like that you recognize that.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think for anybody that might be dealing with special needs in their home or a new diagnosis with a lot of uncertainty, it doesn't have to be just a dark abyss that you're walking forward into. There can still be a lot of light, even if there are pockets of hard.
Yeah. Well, and I think the pockets of hard are what makes the light that much brighter. And I think that that's such a good analogy to motherhood as well, because we all, I mean, anyone listening to this, and you, I'm sure, would agree that we all have some really hard things with motherhood. There's some secret sorrows that everyone's carrying around. They're heavy, laden with these things that they're worried about, whether it's children, whether it's extended family, whether it's themselves, mm-hmm. a spouse. And it happens a lot in motherhood. There's a lot of things that are hard. But then the joys are so much more amazing when they come along because we've had those sorrows. And I think mm-hmm. that's so important to realize that if whoever's listening is in one of those ruts right now, it's going to get better. And it's mm-hmm. this little spot of hardship that may seem like it's drawing on forever and ever and ever is going to change at some point. And it's going to be light. And that hardness is going to help us remember how great the light and beauty is that we see as we come out of it. And I've seen that over and over again with Lucy as she's grown and developed and had hard things and and good things. And I've seen it over and over as, again, as a mother,
yeah,
as I've dealt with different things through, you know, different learning things with my children or different celebrations or different abilities in every way. And so I think it's so important if we remember that those hardships are really actually part of our building material as mothers.
Right. I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that just find you as extraordinary as I do. At the end of most days, do you feel like you're doing a really good job? You can say yes. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of us don't have an accurate view of what we're doing on a day-to-day yeah. basis and how well we're doing. How do you feel?
Yeah, I think that there's many, many nights when I go to bed just thinking, oh, I just want to do over, especially
right.
when I had younger kids.
Yeah.
Just thought, oh, I wish I could do a do-over. But then you just realize that the next day is a new day and you can get up and pull up your bootstraps and try
yeah.
again. And I think that I definitely have those frustrating days where I just think, I dealt with that in such the wrong way. Or I needed to do this and I didn't do it. And I wish I would have thought of that before. And there's always the would have, should have, could have, always. But if we can just remember that tomorrow is a new day and we
yeah.
can get on and get going and do it, then... But certainly, yes, I've got, there's a lot of days when I feel like, man, I need to up my game.
Yeah. But then there's also days, hopefully, where you can feel like, today was pretty good. I did
yeah.
this. I did a good
nailed
job
it.
Today. Yeah, nailed it. Nailed it. Shawnee, I just want to talk to you forever, but I know you do not have time for that. So I want to ask one final question that I ask all my guests, and it's this. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
That's a great question.
Thanks.
I think I would tell my pre-motherhood self that relax and enjoy the journey. Just enjoy it. I love the quote, the quote, endure to the end, but mm-hmm. I love enjoy to the end even more because that tells me that, and I say it to myself quite a lot because life is meant to, we're meant to have joy. We're meant to enjoy things. And I think I would just tell that self, that pre-motherhood self, that it's all going to work out okay, and just enjoy that journey. Enjoy those kids. Soak them in with all that you've got, and don't let other things get in the way because they grow up before you know it, and
yeah,
and they're going to be gone. And that relationship that you make with them is key for the future.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And if your living room is scattered with Legos, maybe you should sit down and play with them.
Yeah,
or maybe,
that's
you know,
true.
It's all going to be okay, and it's not going to be there
them,
forever.
Let them enjoy,
yeah.
join you in doing
yeah.
whatever you're doing, you know? Just
yeah.
get involved in what you're doing, too. So,
absolutely.
But just create those moments and that communication, and I think that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Shawnee, thank you so much for sharing about your family and about your motherhood today. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much for talking to
this
me, and it's so
fun.
Great to spur different ideas and
yeah,
too. So thank you.
Yes. I hope you have an awesome day.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. I want to thank Shawnee for taking the time to be on the show today. Despite the fact that we've never met in person, Shawnee is one of my greatest mom role models. After reading her blog for years and just seeing the joy and the intention that she puts forth with motherhood, I know that that is the kind of mom I want to be. So thanks, Shawnee, for putting your family out there so that we can all learn from you. You're truly a great example of what an extraordinary mom is to me. I want to thank a podcast sponsor today, and that is Lily Jade Bags. You can go to lily-jade.com to see all of their beautiful leather bags. These are stylish diaper bags, but even if you're past the diaper stage, these are still gorgeous leather bags that are made so, so well. You will be proud to carry that around on your shoulder. It is functional with its insert with a tons of organization and pockets and compartments. I love that. And I feel just so special as I walk around. I have a beautiful black bag. They have a gorgeous brown color as well. And I love all the styles. The founder of the company wanted to create a diaper bag that was stylish as well as functional. And she hit the nail on the head with these Lily Jade bags. So thanks for partially sponsoring this podcast. As always, you can follow me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3, on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast, and on our website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com. You can find the show notes there, information about Shawnee and how to connect with her and her family. 71toes.com is her blog. And as always, you can dip back into the archives and see all the other extraordinary moms that we've had on the show so far. This is episode 104, and I can hardly believe that, but there's 103 other extraordinary moms behind her, so check them out
And I love it when you share the podcast. So if you're loving the podcast, will you share the show with a friend? Share it on your social media or pick up your friend's phone and say, hey, do you listen to podcasts? Here's one that I love. It also means a lot when you leave some reviews. We've had some new ones lately. So if you've left a review on iTunes, thank you so much. It really helps new friends to find the show. So I hope everyone has an awesome day, and I'll see you next week for another episode with another Extraordinary Mom. Bye.